Would you turn with me now to the portion we read there, 2 Peter chapter 1, and we read from verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And perhaps verse 10 there, these familiar words, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. Peter is seeking to give to these Christians in his day that assurance of their faith and to strengthen them in their Christian living and to bolster them for the service and the fight that they are engaged in. But if we look at these verses, it would be bad preaching just simply to go into them immediately and dive into them and preach on them in isolation. For if these things be in you, what is it that Peter is talking about? We need to set them in a context to the chapter. We need to see the place in the argument that he is developing, the application that he's making of them. We need to see them in the picture that Peter is creating. And it's good for us to stand back, as we've often done, to see the method that God uses through his servants in dealing with problems, practical problems in the life of his people down through the years. This book that we've got in our hands, this Bible, is the handbook of the Christian life and living. We look upon it as the textbook for praise and worship, for our theology and our teaching, but it is also a very practical book that tells us how we can face and cope with whatever life throws at us, not just simply in the days of the New Testament, but in our day also. The problems that we have, how does God address them, and what principles does he give us to help us to face them and overcome them? These people to whom Peter was writing, therefore, they were people that were discouraged. They were struggling in their Christian life. And so what Peter does, is he sets out a framework. He does not immediately come to the problem. He doesn't immediately dive in there to help them with what they're speaking about. He stands back. And he begins to set out who and what they are. He stands back and he doesn't do the expected. And he sets out for them and for us these markers and these principles that apply without time or place, that encourage them and us in some of the many problems we have to face. Verses 1 through 4 are just simply loaded with tremendously rich teaching and encouragement. Peter is saying to these people, you are a redeemed people. With all that that means, redeemed by God at the cost of his Son, you are a redeemed people. You are a people who have received the promises of God. The promises that are sure. The promises that are certain. The promises that are underwritten and guaranteed by the very character, integrity, unchangeableness of God's character. That's what you have and that's what you are. So therefore there is a responsibility on you to live in a certain way. Give all diligence, add to your faith. And he says, add to your faith. This faith that you've got, add to it virtue. The old meaning of that word is simply moral power. In other words, he's saying, look, this is the privilege you've got. Now let's face up to the responsibilities. See to it that in the light of all that God has given you, that you have and that you're living by faith in Christ. Have a robust, have an energetic Christian life. Not on your own resources, but drawing on what's available to you in Jesus Christ your Lord. Add virtue to your life. Draw deep and draw daily from your Lord. The world is going to challenge them, and the world challenges us in the way we present ourselves and the way they think of us. The world is going to distort us, give a caricature of us. Oh, see these Christians, they're nothing but doer people. See these Christians, they're all thou shalt not this, thou shalt not that. See these Christians. And so it goes on. And what Peter is saying to them and to us, ensure that the way that you live goes against that very caricature and lays it down to die. Don't even give them a thread that they can latch onto and use against you. Instead, show something of the joy, the enthusiasm, the calmness, the excitement that is yours in Jesus Christ your Lord. Virtue. He goes on. He goes on and says, add to your virtue knowledge. You're to live within certain lines and characters that God has given you. You've got a freedom, but it's a freedom that is limited by what God has set before you. And as you live within these walls, these hedges, these limitations, as you live there, then you will know the blessing of the Lord as you obey Him. You will have His presence as a daily reality to you. He speaks about temperance, and that simply means watch where you're going, the company you keep and what you're doing. Patience. Simply keep at it. There are going to be difficulties come that are going to sometimes be a fearful temptation to us to throw it in and go away. There's sometimes troubles that come that make us, distract us, turn aside and make us go by another path. And Peter is saying to these people, don't be a quitter. Exhibit that stickability, that patience to keep going. Exhibit that godliness. That simply means that breath of heaven, that likeness to the Lord Jesus Christ about your life, that love to other Christians and that love to those who are on the outside. That's what Peter is talking about. If these things be in you, if that's the kind of character that you've got, if that's the kind of life that you're living, then these are encouragements that you can lay hold of. Think of them. Look for them. Apply these things. Seek to reproduce them in your life. Because if you're doing that, if you're living in that way, as verse 10 tells us, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if these things, again, that's very throwing us back to verses 5, 6, and 7. If these things be in you, you shall never fail. There is the foundation for your encouragement, for your assurance that you belong to the Lord. Assurance. It comes down simply to this, does it not? Do you know that your sins are forgiven? If there's any uncertainty on that issue, then we will be robbed of our motivation to live as the Lord's people. But if we have that faith in the Lord, and if that faith in the Lord is furnished, this word that we've got here in verse 5, give all diligence, add to your faith. It's the word that is used for somebody who's underwriting a play. Somebody who's making the finances available to bring that play about. And what it says is, here is somebody and he's lavishly providing. Somebody who is making plenty of resources available that the play be the best there is. That's what the word add is here. And that's what he's saying about our Christian life. Make sure that your Christian life is well decorated. Not in the things this world values, but in the things God looks for. Make sure that your life is well decorated in the things of Jesus Christ the Lord. Add to your faith. See that these qualities are there in you. And if they're in you, they are the basis for your assurance that you are His. And when we are close to the Lord and when we are near Him, when we are with Him, then we are bold and speak out in His name. Look at our lives. See these qualities, these characteristics. Our confidence grows. We mature in our Christian life. And we're able to take a stronger Christian stance. Peter here is then speaking to these people. And he is seeking to encourage them and to strengthen them. And he is encouraging them to pursue after holiness of character. He's pursue after likeness to the Lord. He's encouraging them, he's strengthening them, he's stimulating them to be like the Lord whom they love. And he does it here in these verses we're coming to tonight in three simple ways. He draws attention to three simple things. First of all, in verse 9, he's putting it in a negative way. He says, But he that lacks these things is blind. He cannot see afar off. And he's forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Here is Peter addressing a Christian. And he's addressing their problem, and perhaps it's a Christian who's grown weak, who's lost something of their strength and their joy and their assurance and their confidence. Somebody who has gone down from the heights they once experienced and knew and were thrilled by. And here is Peter seeking to counsel them, to identify the problem and to draw them back. And he says, if that's the way you are, why are you like that? He that lacketh these things, if these qualities are not in your life just now and you've backslidden as a Christian, you're not seeing afar off. You're not seeing the distant perspective. You're not fully aware of the big picture. All that you're seeing is what's immediately in front of you. You're trapped and you're distracted. All that you're focusing on is what's in front. You're enjoying what this world offers. And you have for a moment forgotten that there is another world out there. You're not seeing the final goal. You've forgotten who you are. You've forgotten especially where you're going. You're captivated by what's going on in life round about you. And you've lost sight of the path. You cannot see afar off. You've forgotten what is the aim and the purpose in the Christian's life. It is to be like God. It is to be like God. That holiness of life is the aim which the Lord has set before every one of us. And if we want to see the Lord, if we want to be with Him, then what is required of us? We are told plainly in the book of Hebrews that if we are to see the Lord, there must be a holiness of character. There must be a likeness of our character to His. So also earlier on in 1 John chapter 3, these very, very stirring words at the beginning of chapter 3, he says, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. We are now sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. That's the prospect that's in front of the Christian. And if that's the prospect, listen now what he says in verse 3. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. So therefore what Peter is saying is, if we have lost that vision of where we're going, if we have lost that great picture of that position and place the Lord has prepared for His people, if we've lost that aspect of our destiny, then so we will lose that motivation for holiness. Don't lose sight of it. Don't be content with any distraction. Don't lose or lower our standards. Never be content with second best. He has set before us this prospect of being with Himself. So therefore, don't be blind or distracted by the things going on round about us, and the lights and the offerings distracting us and pulling us down. Always purify ourselves, having our eyes fixed, as Hebrews tells us, upon that distant city, whose builder and maker is God, and therefore look upon ourselves as strangers and pilgrims. We're journeying through this world. We don't stay here. We're just on the move. But our eye is set on that place which the Lord has prepared for His people. The first thing that Peter is highlighting then, the way in which our vision can lapse. And when the vision lapses, then the motivation for holiness and pursuing likeness to the Lord is consequently compromised. Blind, not seeing afar off. But that's not the only thing that Peter says here. He says not only is he blind looking forward, but he's also blind looking back. He says he's forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Here is somebody who is even worse than the Israelites. The nation of God in the Old Testament went through hard and difficult times. There were times when they were drifting from the Lord, but they always came back to what the Lord did for them in bringing them out of Egypt. They always went back to that deliverance for their vision and for their strength. But here we're looking at someone who's lost even that. The prophet Isaiah tells us, remember the pit from which you've been digged and the rock from which you've been hewn. Just for a moment, sit down and remember and refresh your minds and get again that sensitivity you've lost. He says, sit down and again think of what the Lord has done for us. There are times, yes, when the cross becomes a distant reality. Remember, we're told when we can follow afar off, when the influence and the effect of it upon us becomes weaker and frail and distant. And when that happens, the motivation and the stimulus in Christian living waxes accordingly. And we've got to remind ourselves again, why did the Lord Jesus Christ come? He came to redeem. He came to purify his people. He came to provide and to prepare a spotless and a perfect bride for himself, washed in his own blood and cleansed and purified. He has come and he deals with the presence, the pollution, the power of sin in every one of his people. That's what he's come to do. And Peter is saying, think again. Grasp hold of what perhaps has let slip through your fingers. Look again at what the Lord has done for you. He has delivered you. And once you grasp hold of that, think of the consequences and apply it to your life. If the Lord has redeemed you and purged you from your old sins, therefore, don't linger there. Put a distance between you and that which caused the death of the Lord. Put off the old ways and put on the new ways. Pursue after that holiness with the stimulus of the cost of that salvation to the Lord Jesus Christ. Fix your vision on what he endured and he experienced. If you're not making sure, then you're not seeing straight. If you're not making sure, you're not seeing straight. Seeing straight into the future. Seeing straight and looking back. Peter then speaking to these people, and he is giving them wise counsel. Don't be distracted. Don't become blind. Don't let your vision be interfered with, compromised, or tampered in any way. Because when that happens, this is the consequence. Keep your eyes fixed on that which is in front of you. Keep your eyes fixed on what the Lord has done in the past for you. So that's the first thing he is saying to encourage these Christians. If these things be in you, he is encouraging them, strengthening them to go on with the Lord. But the second thing he says, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. Today we have so many stratagems, so many suggestions. There are so many offers put before us to stimulate us and to motivate us in our Christian life and work. And here we have the framework and the prescription which God gives us. Here we are told what the Lord has said, simply and plainly to encourage each and every one of us. There's no subscription to a conference or a book we've got to buy or a course we've got to go through. If we look to be faithful and we look to be profitable, to produce fruit, what is it that Peter is saying? He's saying, look at these qualities he's just mentioned and ensure that they are in your life. He says, if these things are in you, you shall not be barren. It's an unfortunate word that's used there. The better translation is, you will not be idle. We will not be idle. We have great privileges. Some of them Peter has been outlining for us. We have a great inheritance of faith and of promises. We believe that God can and will do great things for us, through us. What therefore are we doing with all of that knowledge that we possess? What are we doing with what we know about our God? These things ought to stimulate us in our Christian activity. Keep us going in the Christian way. Constantly reminding ourselves who and what we are. Constantly reminding ourselves the aim and intention God has before us. The purpose for our life. As the Lord tells us where he's taking us, as the Lord tells us what he's done for us, if that is the uppermost things in our thinking, in our minds, then we will not be barren, but we will strive after fruitfulness, holiness, a full-orbed and a balanced Christian life. We will be productive in these qualities and features which the Lord looks for in our lives. When you look at the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he went about doing good. He was what he was, he did what he did because of his holy nature. People were not put off by that purity in his words and that purity in his actions. There was something attractive about that holiness. There was something attractive about that purity. There was something attractive about that fruitfulness of our Lord. And that we would heed and seek to follow after his example. Holiness is never a barrier or an obstacle. Holiness is always an attractive quality, and our Lord shows us that in his life. That attraction is what our Lord shows us and what we need. We saw this morning the way in which John the Baptist spoke. And the way in which he preached a searching, plain message to these people that they needed to hear. And the one thing that we mentioned there that was in the life of John the Baptist was this emotion, his concern for what he was saying and the people who were hearing him and listening to him. He was like a voice crying in the wilderness. So it also is, must be with ourselves. That concern for others will make our words and our testimony more attractive and linger longer in those to whom we speak. There's a busyness. There's a great busyness about life today. But what is it achieving? A busyness, I mean, in Christian circles and Christian life. But what's it achieving? We've got to cultivate the character which Peter sets for us. Because this is the character which draws others. A care, a concern, a sympathy. a likeness to our Lord. That ability to read the life of others round about us and the problems they're going through. And to be able to bring a counsel, a wise counsel from the Lord to them who are in need. The outcasts, the distressed. There was nothing put off. There was no putting off, rather, in the life of our Lord. There was no obstacles in the life of our Lord. People came to him and he ministered to them and he met them. And there was something compelling. There was something fruitful. There was something rich and attractive about his holiness and his perfection and his purity. So it must be with ourselves. As we pursue after holiness and likeness to the Lord, if these things, these qualities that he's speaking about, this furnishing of your faith, this lavish production of these good things that Peter speaks about, if these things be in us, we will not be barren, we will not be unfruitful, but there will be a compelling attraction, drawing others to our Lord. But not only that, but preparing us to be with our Lord in glory. And that takes us to the third thing that I want us to think of here. Not only the production of fruit, but here in verse 11 he's also saying something to encourage us. So an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If we keep at these things, if we keep at these Christian qualities, if we keep pursuing after holiness that's spelled out for us here, there is given to us an assurance of entering into glory. For so an entrance shall be ministered to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How are we going to face death? That's always the testing question. Remember the way in which Paul puts it for us at the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The outward man perishes. Well, that's the experience and the lot of all of us. Christian and non-Christian alike. But for the Christian, there is always this inner compensation. The outward man perishes, but the inner man is renewed day by day. If there is that developing Christian character, if there is that maturing of our life, is that production of these qualities that Peter brings before us, if that's the things that are found in our life, that's the inner man being renewed. That's the encouragement, the assurance that we have for the entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Death comes, and for some, old age is but empty with regret and with memories. It's foreboding. But not so for the Christian. It is a door through which we pass into the glory that the Lord has prepared for his people. It is the glory of his nearer presence, the Savior that we've looked for and longed for all our days in this world. Paul tells us, as he was coming through this very process, he says, I have kept the faith. I have fought the fight. I have finished the race. He has held on to. He has pursued after constantly that likeness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Cultivating, developing, promoting these very qualities that Peter brings before us. And therefore he can look and look to the Lord with a confidence that these words spoken perhaps with the Lord in the gospel. Enter thou into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And notice there, the very same word is used. Wherefore the rather brethren give diligence to make your calling election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered. The word there for ministered is the same word as is used for adding in verse 5. It's that lavish provision. That lavish provision which the Lord has made of his kingdom for his people. There is this glorious provision and an abundant welcome the Lord has for every one of his people who pursue after this holiness and who are like his son. That's the target and the aim that Peter is setting before his people. That's what is set before us in these days. A very simple, practical application, seeking likeness to the Lord. If we look for assurance, if we're looking for a strengthening of our Christian character, it's not to be found in some unique and sensational experience. It's not found and derived from some extraordinary gift. That assurance that we're looking for is quite simply the lavish provision of a Christian character. When we have our life like our Lord, and we're living close by him and with him and for him, when our life reflects more and more of our Lord whom we serve, when our life is fixed upon what he has done for us in the past and what he's prepared and provided for us in the future, when we're living close to the cross, at the foot of the cross, when we're bathing our soul in the wonder and the grace of what he's done for us, when we look forward to that ultimate purpose behind everything of having his people with himself, when we're conscious of where we're going, when we're conscious of who's done it for us, when we feel the enormity of salvation in Jesus Christ, then there is an obligation laid upon us to start that preparation now, that holiness of life, that rich and lavish Christian character. And the more that we're like him, the more of his company we will enjoy, the more assurance we will have, the greater strength we will have to live for him day after day, and especially comfort. No matter what might come our way, the more like we are to him, the more we will enjoy of the presence of the living God as our company and fellowship. That's the one quality which God looks for in his people, and where he sees the likeness of his son, where he sees something of the character of his Jesus Christ, to that person the Lord God draws near and takes up his place with them. And there is a tremendous encouragement to those who are like the Lord when he comes in such a capacity to be with them and to meet them. Comfort us and strengthen us. Peter then, seeking to encourage those who are in trouble and in difficulty, seeking to encourage those who are downcast and despondent for a moment, sets the framework, tells them how they must live, and says to them, look, live in this way, pursuing after holiness and likeness to the Lord. And when you do that, there will be an assurance and there will be strength and there will be comfort. to meet and to overcome all that might be thrown at you in life. When you do that, pursuing after these qualities, you are making your calling and your election sure. And if these things, these qualities are in you, you shall never fail. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, the light of thy word strikes our life day after day, revealing to us the things which thou dost require of us, and setting before us great targets and intentions to attain. And we pray, Lord, that we might constantly know the benefit of that salvation achieved for us on that cross, that we might know the shadow of that cross on our life day after day, and that we might know the comfort, but also its power, that we might live as thy people in this dark age in which we are, that our souls might be assured and at peace that we are thine, and that the hope of glory might be stronger with us each day that we journey. Bless us, our God, and remove all barriers from human instrument, and bring home thy word in comfort and blessing to each and every one of us, thy people. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We close tonight by singing then from Psalm 9. Psalm 9. And we're singing at verse 11. O sing ye praises to the Lord that dwells in Zion Hill, and all the nations among his deeds record ye still. When he inquireth after blood, he then remembereth them. The humble folk he not forgets that call upon his name. Lord, pity me, behold the grief which I from foes sustain. Even thou from the gates of death doth raise me up again, that I in Sion's daughter's gates may all thy praise advance, and that I may rejoice always in thy deliverance. Psalm 9 from 11 to 14, four stanzas. O sing ye praises to the Lord. Now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.